Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
What a sweet night. I mean, you can't write this any better than what happened last night between the Avs and the Blues. Obviously, you get the win, but Nazem Kadri gets the hat trick. I mean, he was the guy, the star, literally the star of the game. And they're like announcing, you know, at the end of the game, you're playing the, I don't know what the song was they were playing at the end of the game, but it was like, don't worry, be happy, or something like that. And then they announced Kadri gets the star of the game. Oh, my goodness, that was hilarious. What an effort. I mean, dude, think about this. Yesterday, we're talking about all these kind of racist attacks and threats on his life and all this crazy bullcrap that we all, I mean, logical, normal people agree that it's crazy bullcrap. And for him to put that aside and have a game like that, if you take away the Bennington stuff and the threats and all of that, this is still the performance we're talking about. We're like, wow, holy cow, Kadri was amazing. 3 goals and an assist, getting that hat trick. I mean, he was what got it going for the Avs in that second period. He was the guy that started to change things. But because of all of the other stuff that you add on to it, my goodness, you can't write a better script. They were coming at him too. David Perron was coming at him. I'd fine $5,000 for that cross check. It's ridiculous. Whatever. I'm not gonna sit here and pretend I know about all the fines and how they should go and shouldn't go and whatnot, but I know what Kadri did the other night wasn't dirty. That play wasn't dirty. What I saw last night was a lot of crap. There was a lot of bull crap last night. Doesn't matter. Avs win. Kadri gets to come home to Denver. The Avs can close this thing out tomorrow night, please. Don't even mess with St. Louis. There's a rivalry there now. That's cool. I like that. I like rivalries in sports, as long as they're not. I always say this. I want you to have hate in sports, but sports hate, right? I hate you because of how good you are or how annoying you are. Nothing else. So I've always been kind of true to that. I like good old-fashioned hate in sports. But outside of that, I mean, you could just not like a guy because you don't like him. You don't like the way he plays. You don't like his attitude. But then when we take it to that next level of attacking religion or race and all that stuff, That's when you lose me, and that's when you lose most. And let's be clear. Nazem Kadri even said it. And this is professional on his part. He's not lumping the entire St. Louis Blues fans into this category, which is what we need to do in America, by the way. When one person does something stupid on behalf of this organization or this belief or this thing, you can't lump everybody into one. And I think Kadri did a great job of saying, hey, listen, I don't think all Blues fans are this bad. I think for the ones that were bad, you know, great. This was for them. We'll get into that quote in a minute. But I think he was a hell of a lot more professional than St. Louis and their coaching staff and their players. Berube yesterday, I think he just said he's not going to talk about it. They asked him what he had to say about some of the racist allegations and threats and stuff like that. He said, I'm not going to talk about it. You're not going to at least condemn it. You're not going to at least say, no, we don't like that kind of stuff. You know, argue with him about the game and his style, sure, but we're not going there. Can't even do that? What the hell? Like, that's the easy part. That's the easy part of this. But the Avs get the job done. They lead this series 3-1. And Kadri's the story today, and rightfully so. I love how everybody's getting behind this guy. My player of the week, Jades. You think he's going to get it again? I think that performance alone might earn him another player of the week. Might just do it, thanks to Red Wing Shoes, Greeley and Johnstown. Oh, good. We're confirming guests as we go here. I got Zach Stevens coming up. It's our annual Who's at OTAs and Who's Not time. We're going to get Chris Dempsey on at 105. We might try to move that, Jades. We might try to move that to 12:30. Let's. You know what? We're going to do it right now. Because we got a lot to talk about, man. Obviously, this game last night, we're going to stick on that for a while. And Tim Connelly's gone. Is the sky falling for the Nuggets? Are we freaking out right now? The man that pretty much orchestrated a lot of the good stuff that you're seeing now for the Nuggets is gone. And not necessarily because the Kroenkes didn't try. I mean, it was reported yesterday that they did offer him enough money to be one of the top paid execs. I don't know. Is it top five? Is it top 10? I don't know. Top 30? No, everything that I've heard and read was that the Kroenkes and the Nuggets came back at him aggressively with a nice offer. But at the end of the day, Minnesota offered what not many teams are willing to do. That is equity in the team. That is way more money than a salary, which he did get a pretty nice salary, too, out of the deal. But he got way better deal than just an executive-type deal. So, good for him. I mean, it's hard to... You know, I've seen a lot of, like, articles about the Nuggets let Conley get away to a division opponent. How do you... You want the Kroenkes to offer up ownership? Like, a stake in the ownership? That's just not realistic. It can happen, and when it happens, it's good for that guy. They obviously really value him. But at the end of the day, five-year deal, $40 million, that includes ownership equity. I mean, you're not going to get much better than that. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Kazem Kadri, Nazem Kadri, wow, was sensational. Dude, I've got to admit, James, I don't want to go too soon here, but am I becoming a hockey fan? Playoff hockey is pretty fun. I will admit, it's pretty damn fun. It is pretty intense. You do find yourself looking up at those power play clocks like crazy. Like, okay, come on, kill this thing. It is fun. I've had a lot of fun with it. And to see a story like that with Kadri's performance was so much fun. Like, it's poetic, man. How can you, what is that line in the Brad Pitt playing Billy Bean movie? What is that movie? Moneyball. They're sitting there watching tape on baseball, and he goes, how can you not be passionate about baseball? I feel the same way about sports, all sports. I mean, even sports I don't like. And I never said I was a dislike. I wasn't a hater of hockey. Just, I lost years ago with the lockouts and such, but I've gotten, certainly this year, very much back into this whole thing. And I think Joe Sakic and Patrick Waugh initially kind of revived my interest as most. I think piqued most interest. Like, wow, you're bringing two legends in at once to run the team as an exec and then to coach the team. And obviously didn't work out with Patrick Waugh. Jared Bednar comes out of nowhere, has one of the worst seasons ever, and then the next year they're fine. Well, getting past that second round has been an issue for Jared Bednar and company. But they have found a way to do it, man, and good for them. I mean, this was a great performance by everybody, but Kadri deserves everything. There was one time I saw a Blues player, I don't even know who it was. After Kadri gets a goal, he turns around. A Blues player's like trying to get a cheap shot on him. Kadri just slightly moves to the left, and the guy like does a lunge and fakes. Like when you hit stick in Madden, but there's nobody there. That's what this guy did. I'm like, dude, talk about insult to injury. He didn't even have to do anything. He was fine. Here's Kadri talking to the NHL crew last night after the game. Short clip, but I think this kind of sums it up. Here it is.
Obviously, you know, a great follow-up game. So, you know, I guess I was, you know, needed some fuel, and, you know, I was pretty upset, you know, for the last couple days. But, you know, it is what it is. We got the win. That's what we wanted.
All right, and that's there we go. And there was another clip. Did we get that other clip, too? Let's play that other clip, too, after the game, where he kind of just talks about how this whole thing, you know, panned out. And talking about St. Louis fans as well.
Hey, man, unfortunately, I've been dealing with that for a long time. You know, that's sad to say, but that's just the fact of the matter. I'm getting good at just putting it in the rearview mirror. It's a big deal. I try to act like it's not and just keep moving forward. So, you know, that's what I do. And, you know, I know that doesn't reflect some of those messages I got, doesn't reflect every single fan in St. Louis, but, you know, for those that that hate, that one's for them.
I mean, that's the way you say it, right? That's what you do. That's how you do this. You say something professional. All right, here's the deal. I don't think it was every fan, because it wasn't. That's ridiculous to think that. I don't think St. Louis has a bad fan base. It was fun last night tweeting and saying it's quiet and old St. Louis, but it's all within sports fun. It's when the rare idiots take it to the next level. Like, how are you a person? Seriously. How is your first thought after a play in a sports game to respond negatively around race and religion? How? First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. There's no room for that crap. It's just awful. All right, Method Flow Products poll question. We'll get to the good, the bad, the ugly in a moment. Method Flow Products poll question. Yes, it's going to be some Broncos stuff because Russell freaking Wilson is here and he's in OTAs. Do you have issues with guys like Melvin Gordon and Bradley Chubb not showing up for OTAs? What do you think? I mean, it's voluntary. And Melvin Gordon never goes to OTAs, and for some reason, he's getting better. I know fumbles, Brady, yeah, but his yard production has been better. 62% of the Hooligans say no. You have no issue with this. So no issue with Bradley Chubb, who's on a contract year, who has not lived up to any of his expectations. Kareem Jackson, which I've read that he was at a graduation. It's kind of that time of year, isn't it, Jades? Do you have issues with guys like Melvin Gordon and Bradley Chubb not showing up for OTAs? Go ahead and vote at thewholeshow.com. Let's read a couple of texts here. Eastside Chris, Brady, granted the OTAs are just that. However, if I were Melvin Gordon, I would think I have a new boss with a new system. Therefore, it would be more beneficial to attend. Thought the re-signing was bad. Hopefully I'm wrong. No, I liked the re-signing, definitely. But yes, you have a new quarterback in Russell. You have a new coach in Nathaniel Hackett, a new system overall. So, yeah, I think that it's important to be there. Like, Jerry Jeudy's there, but he's not playing. Nathaniel Hackett said they're sorting through some things right now, but Jerry Jeudy is actually there. What's up, Jades?
I also think that they're making millions of dollars. It's the least they can do is show up.
So even though it's voluntary, so then why not just make it involuntary? Like, make it where you have to go.
I mean,
mandatory. That's
at the end of the day, it is still technically their job. I mean, to me, I don't necessarily have a problem with them not going to it, but I think they should.
Do you think it'd be okay if they were there and not dressing out? Like, what if Melvin Gordon's like, dude, I'm getting older.
Yeah, you should at least be there for team support, even if you're not going to, like, if you're going to say, oh, I'm preventing injury or whatever your case may be, then, like, I understand that. But
be there because you're going to be learning terminology and
right.
All that stuff. I kind of agree. I do get excuses, though. Kareem Jackson's going to go to graduations and stuff. Like, that's cool. He's still a person. He's still got family. He's still got once-in-a-lifetime events to attend. And it's a voluntary thing.
Well, and maybe not necessarily every single day you have to be there, but at least however many times a week.
Texter here says McBride should be here. I don't know, man. I like McBride as much as the next guy. And I take him in a heartbeat. I love the CSU connection, but I hear Greg Dulcich. We've changed it, by the way. It was Dulcich. That's how we do it. Dulcich. I heard he is just, he's a specimen out there. We'll have Zach Stevens on to talk to us about it in the second hour. I also got Chris Dempsey coming on at 12:30. Is the sky falling for the Nuggets? Calvin Booth, maybe the guy, probably the guy in line. Rabbit hole question. Wilson has wins against 30 of the 32 teams. Who are the other two teams? Jades, do you know the answer to this?
It's the Seahawks and the...
Because he hasn't beat himself, right?
What?
He hasn't beat himself, right? It wins
yeah.
against...
so
that's one.
Oh, I literally just read about this, but
who
I can't...
Who is it?
It's the Seahawks and...
Well, we know it's not the Broncos because Super Bowl would...
Right.
Ooh, Super Bowl 48.
I'll look it up. I'll let you know.
Does anybody know? I mean, he said, Chris, obviously you know. So if you're asking that question, who's the other team? Seattle's the trick question. Can't beat yourself. Who's the other team? He has wins against 30 of the 32 teams. Who are the other two teams that he hasn't had wins against? All right, 19 minutes after the hour. Before we break, Jades, we got to do this. We got to get to the good, the bad, and the ugly from the night before, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. The good. How can you not say Nazem Kadri? I mean, he was amazing. The storyline we all needed, we didn't know we were going to get, but it absolutely delivered. Mr. Hattrick, he turned this game completely around.
Here's Nazem Kadri. Kadri shoots, scores! Nazem Kadri silences the crowd in St. Louis. Kadri across the shot. Oh. Save Husso on the try from Byram. Now it's McCarr. Power play over. Save Husso. Byram again. Kadri scores! It won't be a power play goal, but it will be a 4-1 lead on the second of the game for Nazem Kadri. Checking was Nichushkin. Lost it. Nazem Kadri scores! It's a hat trick for Kadri.
I thought it was going to be a blow. Sorry there. So many goals. I didn't know when the clip was going to end, right? I didn't know when it was going to end. He did so many amazing things. I thought for a while they were just going to absolutely blow him out in that second. St. Louis made it a game again, but then the Avs fired right back. Go finish this thing tomorrow. How about the bad? No clip needed. The Rockies drop a very uninspiring game at Pittsburgh last night. They lose 2-1. They're back at it tonight. At 4:35, we'll have that game for you. Kyle Freeland going to mound. I'm putting the pressure on him. You got to win this stupid series. So it means you got to win tonight, obviously, and then tomorrow. Win this series, please. My goodness. The ugly. And St. Louis did their best in booing Nazem Kadri. And every time he had the puck, every time he looked at the puck, fans were flipping him off, all this other stuff. And I think the ugly that was from this, and I'm just going to do this weird thing today, just for this day only, the ugly turned into something extremely beautiful. Because we get to look at that and say, man, this is a guy that, you know, had to have, there was extra police at a hotel, and he put it all away. He put it all away, and he went out there, and he shut up all the doubters, all the people harping on him, all the people coming at him in the worst possible ways. So, awesome job for Nazem Kadri. He was my Red Wing Shoes Greeley Johnstown Player of the Week last week. That performance alone might just get him another one, two in a row. Could he get a hat trick? Maybe get three in a row once they start their series next week. 22 minutes after the hour, short break coming up. When we do, we'll talk about OTAs, the Broncos no-shows at this point, positions that we should be looking out for, and just what the Russell Wilson factor really does for the Broncos. Short break coming. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Allo Communications Studios. We got a busy, busy show. We got Tim Connelly stuff. We got history of the second round for the Avs and how to get past it. Who is in the way of the Nuggets next year, regardless of Tim Connelly? All that coming up. We'll be right back.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 28 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Happy Tuesday, Northern Colorado. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. 28 minutes after the hour, we are getting down to the time ticking down to June 1st when we're going to find out about David Roddy. What's he going to do? I'm going to text him, Jades, at some point this week. I'm going to bother him, and we're going to see if we can get him on and talk about it. I doubt he'll break any decisions on the show, but we can sure try. And if he's back next year, you know we got the David Roddy show rocking. You were joining the show, Jades, right around that time, right? Because you came on after Christmas, after the New Year, is that right? Enjoy this time while it lasts, because after this, I will not remember when you started, how it started, just that you've been here and we're a part of it, and that's how it goes. But enjoy this time while it lasts.
Oh, yeah. It's been fun.
But that was right when you came along, right, with
yep.
David? I mean, I saw his interview with the Pacers They conduct their NBA draft interviews and stuff. It's just kind of surreal to see that. You know, a guy that we follow so closely here is being sought after by these NBA teams. And he's not just a guy that's going to sign on and be a summer league guy or go overseas or whatever. He's going to be a piece to somebody's puzzle. Is it this year? Is it next year? That's what we're waiting to find out. 29 minutes after the hour, I got OTA stuff I must hit. Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos will join me. But first, we're going to get Chris Dempsey on the show. How much will Chris give us about this whole Tim Connelly, Calvin Booth thing?
I did also find the teams he needs to beat, Russell.
Who? Oh, teams he... Okay, there's two teams he hasn't beat, right? And one's Seattle, which that's going to change game one this season.
Yep, and in week six, when the Broncos face off against the Chargers.
Chris did say it was in our division.
Yep.
How about that?
And he joins a very exclusive group. I mean, there's only been... I mean, it's Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, and Brett Favre. They're the only ones that have beat every team.
Wow. So he'll do that, right? I mean, he's... I've got him doing that this year. I've got him beating Seattle. And I think, Jades, do I have him splitting with the Chargers? I think I have him splitting with the Chargers.
More than likely.
I have him sweeping the Raiders, splitting with the Chargers, and splitting with the Chiefs, I believe. If you want to check out my schedule or my win-loss prediction total, it is available at theholeshow.com. 30 minutes after the hour. The Method Flow Products poll question is available, too, at theholeshow.com. I want to get your thoughts on this. Do you have issues with players not showing up for OTAs? Go vote at theholeshow.com. I'm actually kind of shocked. Right now, it's primarily, no, I don't really have an issue with it. It's fine. So go vote there. I'm going to see where this ends at 2 o'clock today. 55% saying no. So we're kind of down the middle. Interesting. 31 minutes after the hour, the Dempsonator, Chris Dempsey, coming up next of Altitude TV. More on Tim Connelly and the future for the Denver Nuggets. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Thirty-six minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show. We're live from the Alla Communications Studios. Joining me now, my great friend Chris Dempsey from Altitude TV. Chris, we're at great friend status now, right? That is confirmed. True.
that is most certainly confirmed. We are great friends.
I just want to make sure. I get needy. I got to check once in a while, so we got to be sure. This was a tough one. Speaking of great friends, I mean, Chris, with the news about Tim Connelly and everything going forward, I know this is a hard one for the Nuggets organization, for Nuggets fans. But, Chris, how much can you talk to us about this? Because the reports I'm reading are that the Kroenkes, the Nuggets, did make maybe a really good counteroffer. But at the end of the day, equity and ownership, that's hard to beat.
Yeah, it is. And so is $8 million. I mean, that's, per year. I mean, that's a... it's putting him in rarefied air in terms of financial compensation for executives in this league. And, it's hard to match that. I mean, how can you, it's hard to fault the Nuggets for not being able to rise to that particular level. And so, but it gives you an idea of just how well thought of Tim Connelly has been. And look, this is obviously not the first time another franchise has come in and tried to blow him away with a big financial package. And so, sooner or later, the numbers might get too big for some teams. And for the Nuggets, it's too bad because Tim Connelly, obviously, the Nuggets as we know them today, the franchise as it is run as it is thought of league-wide today. It has everything to do, the majority to do with how Tim has come in and reshaped it in all the different areas. And so this is it's a really big loss for them. And boy, he went to the division rival too. So that's a bitter pill to swallow as well. But for the Nuggets, it's hard to fault them for not being able to come up to $40 million over 5 years plus an ownership stake.
Chris, do you know what the Nuggets were prepared to offer? Do you have that number?
I don't have that number.
All I read was that it would have been up there within the top five or so. I mean, and I don't even know if that's true, but it looked like it was at least a competitive offer. But like you said, it's hard to get to that point. Plus the ownership thing is next to impossible.
Yeah, it really is. And think about the last two executives that have left the Nuggets organization. It's been because the packages overall have just been really overwhelming. And so Masai Ujiri, prior to Tim Connelly, left for Toronto Raptors. And, that package in Toronto was not only just a lot of money, period, but then, had incentives in terms of helping his Basketball Without Borders in Africa and some of the other charitable ventures that he was into as well. And then with Tim Connelly, obviously the ownership stake. So these packages, these teams are understanding that maybe getting an individual from a different franchise to your franchise is a little bit more than just the compensation, the financial compensation itself. It's what can you do to help serve this individual in some of the other ventures that they're into, or how can you help elevate them to a higher standing within your organization than maybe they had in the previous organization as well. So it's very creative. These are big time packages, and Tim Connelly, it's very difficult for him to have to say goodbye to the Nuggets.
Yeah, it had to be tough, as we've talked about, and you know this better than most, how much he loved the area, loved the team, loved these players and Coach Malone and everybody involved. And again, I know the players were close. I just saw Bones Highland tweet out something like, damn, something as small as that, they take to Twitter and they like the guy. So it's going to be very difficult here. However, Chris, and I got to thank you for this. You introduced me in person to this man a few years ago, Calvin Booth, I feel like they've been grooming for just this thing. I mean, it seems like it makes perfect sense for him to just jump right into this thing. And obviously, there's going to be a lot of challenges ahead for him. But that's where we're looking, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I would be surprised if he's not named as the new general manager or president of basketball operation, whatever the title they want to give him, running the show as a basketball personnel guy. So, part of the reason he is here, he's very well thought of as a young executive, kind of coming up in executive circles, and what he's going to be, what he would be able to do, to be able to learn and be active, not just a guy who's kind of sitting and watching, but to be very active within the organization as the general manager here with the Nuggets under Tim Connelly. I'm sure many lessons were learned, and I would expect that he will do a fine job in that position. I think the question really is his relationships with Coach Malone, and how will he run an organization now differently than Tim Connelly will have run it? What's the culture going to look like under Calvin Booth? Is he going to just leave everything the same? Is he going to try to put his own stamp on it? Like, those behind the scenes questions are really big. And then I think if you're a fan, you certainly hope that the draft success remains at a very high level, under Calvin Booth, and the standing of the Nuggets in terms of the respect level across the league. You hope that continues to remain really high. So, I think the questions about Calvin Booth and how he'll run it, and those are all kind of within the office and within the culture of how things are being run in this franchise, more so than the actual on-court products, just because, especially in these next couple of years, there's so many contracts that are already locked in. There's not many decisions to be made in that aspect anyway. So, he can kind of dive into continuing the culture the way it is, or putting kind of a new stamp on things to run them the way he wants them run.
That's actually that's a great point by you, because I mean, when you look at the Nuggets contracts, you have your main guys figured out for a while, and obviously what is there going to be guys moved, whatever, but the guys that you really feel like are going to be the foundational pieces to this hopeful championship run at some point, or at least conference finals run, are there. So that's a great point, is you can kind of coast a little bit. I wonder if, you know, quick great move for Calvin Booth, just go get that deal done with Nikola Jokic real fast. And then boom, we'd go, wow, he did it. How did he do that? It's amazing.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's going to be the easiest deal that he'll ever do. That's just, here's the check. And right. There's all the zeros. And so here you go.
Sign here. Yeah. I'll put my finger on there, right where that line is. Just sign there.
Exactly. You know, I think for him, though, I tell you what, you know, it's, you know, the blessing for him is that he's taking over a franchise that, when healthy, fully expects to make a run at the NBA Finals. So he's got that type of team already under him. Now, what his challenge will be is making financial pieces fit around those core players that you were just talking about. I mean, because once Nikola gets his supermax between Nikola, Michael Porter Jr., and Jamal Murray, I think that's going to be almost $90 million per year in salaries just for those three players. I haven't even mentioned Aaron Gordon. And so if you lump in his salary, that's over $100 million per year for those four players, and those four contracts will at least take you out another three to four years. So how do you complement those players while still remaining financially fiscal is going to be a great challenge. We saw the Lakers fail at that, right? You know, around LeBron James and Anthony Davis, they were not able to put together, and Russell Westbrook, they weren't able to put together enough high-level players because the dollars were too big. They would have gone too far into luxury tax to be able to do that. And so for the Nuggets, for Calvin Booth, that's going to be his first real stressor as lead executive is how to make those numbers work.
Yeah, no question about it. That's what's going to be. I mean, I'm looking at some of the contracts, Chris, just around the rest of the NBA, thinking about teams that are going to be in the Nuggets' way for the next few years. I mean, even Golden State, they're going to have, not next year as much, but in 2 years, they're going to have some decisions to make. I mean, ultimately, can you have Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Andrew Wiggins, and Jordan Poole on the same team? Those are all things that I wonder about, too, which makes that a very difficult job for any manager. So obviously, Calvin Booth will have that to sort through.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you know, fortunately for Golden State, and I don't know where Jordan Poole is in terms of his rookie scale contract, but you know, they might be able to hold off on him for maybe another season before they have to really pay him. I don't know. I think that's the case.
He has a team option for next season. So,
they're gonna have to take care of him.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, you know, what you hope is that you can find young players that can really significantly impact your team on those rookie scale contracts. When you have max contracts to that degree, and I think only maybe four teams in the NBA have three max contracts on their, and the Nuggets are one of them. So that's it's a big deal. It means a lot of money and wrapped up in a few players. And so you need young players to show up big and to be able to take some of that financial burden off. Otherwise, I don't know where you go in a league where I think a lot of teams are starting to pay their players earlier. And then if it doesn't work out, trade those contracts. But those contracts are still sizable contracts you have to be able to take on. So for the Nuggets, Bones Highland, Zeke Nagy, do they elevate Davon Reed? Does Marcus Howard play a role? You know, these players will have to figure in, I think, to a very high level for them to remain a high-level basketball team, but to do so without breaking the bank.
Yeah, no question about it. Chris, before I let you go, can you give me four, the priority list for Calvin Booth right now. Give me the top four things that you think, okay, number one priority, you got to get this done, you got to take care of this. Do you have four off the top of your mind that you can give us?
Well, first of all, you guys got to get Nikola Jokic done. So that's, I think that's priority number one. I think that will be his prior, his top priority. So get the Nikola Jokic contract done and signed and sealed. And so you start there. And then I think the next thing for him is going to be how he structures his front office. Are there individuals that go with Tim Connelly to Minnesota? And if there are, how are you replacing them? I think that his next questions are internal. That would be the second thing. Michael Malone will handle the coaching staff hire. You know, Jordy Fernandez is going to leave and go to Sacramento to be an associate head coach under Mike Brown in Sacramento. And so, you know, Michael Malone will figure out who he wants to replace him, and they'll just hire that individual. So Calvin doesn't have to worry about that. And then getting back to the basketball team, you know, how do you how's that second unit going to work? What happens with DeMarcus Cousins, to Michael Green, if he opts out of the contract, Facu Campazzo, Austin Rivers, you know, these players that have their contracts either up or a player option that they might opt out of, who do you bring back? What numbers do you bring them back? Or did you elevate somebody else on the squad?
Yeah, well, it's got his work cut out for him for sure. But like you said, there's a lot of positives there. Tim Connelly being as good as he was really did set up a really good situation here. So we'll see, man. Some fun stuff to cover. And I know, Chris, we'll try to get back to you. I want to try to catch up next week, too, to break into some more NBA draft. Also, you know, let's take a look next week, if you have the time, at the teams that we see in front of the Nuggets for the foreseeable future, the teams that they're going to be trying to figure, obviously, Golden State. It's number one, but who's going to be standing in their way for the next couple of years while we're in that Nikola Jokic hopeful championship window?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you look at I'm watching the playoffs this year, and as great as Golden State is, and they are just clearly dispatching of the Dallas Mavericks. I mean, Dallas looks worse than Denver did.
against
Golden State. And so, but what that, I think, underscores to me and the fragility of these teams. You know, Phoenix won, 64 games and couldn't even get out of the second round. It's that, you know, if you're bringing a healthy team to the table, like the Nuggets are right there. I think the Nuggets and the Clippers have to be thinking, wow, we can get right to the NBA Finals next year. You know, it is right there for them. This is Nikola Jokic's window, and it is the Nuggets' window. It is open. If they can remain healthy, we're seeing health have a great impact in these series that we're watching here in the NBA's Final Four. And so, I think it's a bright future. I think it's a hopeful future, and I think the Nuggets figure right into contender status with Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. on the court right beside Nikola Jokic. And so, yeah, I think they can get there right as quickly as next season. I think the question for the Nuggets is can you sustain this window? Can you keep that window open for long enough to be able to, let's say, get to the Western Conference Finals next year, but maybe lose in the Western Conference Finals, and then boom, but the next year you're in the NBA Finals. You know, how do you keep that window open long enough to be able to get that job done?
Yeah, that's the question, right? How can you open that window even wider, so to speak? Chris, always appreciate you, my man. And I'll be reaching out next week. We'll see what works for you. But let's get into some draft talk. Let's see what Calvin Booth's made of in that draft. You mentioned it. The draft, no matter where the Nuggets has been pretty good for them over the last few years. So let's see if we can keep that rock and rolling. We'll catch up with you next week, my friend.
All right, sounds good, man.
All right, Chris Dempsey, Altitude TV. I mean, yeah, the draft, I know we got a break here. Bones, just first round alone. Bones Highland, we know that's pretty good so far. Zeke Nagy, injuries kind of hurt him. MPJ, well, pretty damn hopeful there. Donovan Mitchell was traded. Don't get me started there. Jamal Murray, 2016. I mean, let's go over all that. Tim Connelly was great. Can Calvin Booth step right in, though, where Connelly left off? We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Allo Communications Studios. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Keep it tuned to Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for Preps Baseball.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Just 5 minutes until the top of the hour. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day is available to wholeshow.com. Do you have any issues with guys like Melvin Gordon and Bradley Chubb not showing up for OTAs? Well, Bradley Chubb is there, so we are changing the poll question. He did show up today, so he wasn't there yesterday, but the question is still relevant. I mean, they didn't show up yesterday. So do you have issues with that? Guys not showing up for every day, what have you. We'll get into more of that on the other side. I'm excited to hit that. Probably go with the Tim Connelly thing. Do you think that Calvin Booth can pick right up where Tim Connelly left off? Now, let's look at this. I mean, Tim Connelly, it did feel like everything for the last few years. I mean, he arrived in 2013. He replaced Masai Ujiri. It did feel like everything he touched turned to gold. But let's not forget, and I don't know if the Kroenkes were the main ones to make this decision, but he was a part of that decision, hired Brian Shaw. We can all agree that was a colossal failure. And the Nuggets have had some stinkers as far as head coaches go, but a lot of those bad coaches were kind of like legends of the Nuggets. Like Dan Issel was a coach for a while. I'm blanking out on one of the other guys. Why am I? I can't. He's on altitude. Got his face. Can't think of it. He coached for a little bit. I mean, so some of those are like, okay, that didn't work out, but at least we still love those guys as Nuggets guys. Brian Shaw was not one of those guys. He was a Laker. So none of that was good. That was bad. Did it set the Nuggets back? No, because the good part about Tim Connelly is he got after it quickly. They did not let it fester. They moved on from Brian Shaw. They brought in Michael Malone, and we all know what happened there. The draft classes have been amazing for Connelly. Every player that is a big-time producer, except for Aaron Gordon, their main guys have been drafted. Monte Morris, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., Bones Highland now. Those guys, obviously Joker. These guys were draft picks. That's when you know you have a really good talent evaluator. Can Calvin Booth be like that? He's got the talent right now. Can he add to that with this as soon as this upcoming draft? If you missed any part of my Chris Dempsey interview, you can check it out at thewholeshow.com or 1310kfka.com. I got Zach Stevens coming up from DNVR Broncos. OTAs, his thoughts coming up next. Let's make a night. You won't remember.